Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And usually it's with the priest, the pom and the poof, but today you've just got the poof. So please keep me company. Send me a text message on 0427 Joy 949. Now on tonight's show, we've got lots of exciting stuff coming up. We're going to do a live cross over to Marysville, and we will talk to the priesty over there. And we've also got we're catching up with Alice Stanier, who is also from Marysville. She's going to be speaking to us a little bit about the recovery of the community from the Black Saturday bushfires. 3 years ago today, the Black Saturday bushfires tore through country Victoria. Almost 400 individual fires were recorded. The fires caused Australia's highest ever loss of life from a bushfire. 173 people died and 400 were injured as a result of the fires. On tonight's Spirit Lounge, we're going to remember this tragic day in our history and find out how the community of Marysville is going 3 years on. You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the priest, the pom and the poof. Priest and pom are away today. Earlier in the week, Joy and I caught up with Alice Stanier from Marysville, and we're going to have a bit of a listen to that interview now.
Bushfires on the 7th of February 2009, I worked in Marysville providing emotional support for the emergency service workers. My role also included supporting the members of the Marysville SES unit and their families. I first met tonight's guest Alice, the wife of one of the SES members, at their rented home in Buxton. I was amazed at the strength of both Alice and her husband Grant, who had lost their home and belongings in the fire. As I developed a friendship with Alice over the past 3 years, I've learnt that her strength comes from her deep faith. And tonight, 3 years on, we're going to talk to Alice about her experience on Black Saturday and about life since. Welcome to Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, Alice Stanier.
Thank you, Joy. Thank you.
Alice, just to start with, we like to get to know people. So can you tell us a little bit about your upbringing and the role that religion played in it?
Yes, I can. I'm a country girl. I was brought up in Western Victoria and on a farm. So I'm a farm girl too, and in a Catholic family where religion and faith was pretty important but not talked about all the time. We went to church regularly on a Sunday. We went to Catholic schools. Our parents would have supported everything the Pope and the Bishop said in those days.
So how many children did they have?
There were five of us. I was the middle child. We prayed every night. That was quite common in the 50s and 60s for Catholic families to pray the rosary together. So that was our common prayer. Other than that, sort of mum leaving Catholic literature around, which my husband joked about, she was always trying to improve him. We didn't talk at length on religious matters, but when I was a teenager, I did think, well, I was taught by nuns, Sisters of Mercy, and I suppose their life inspired me somewhat, and I did think I'd like to be a missionary and, you know, go to a foreign country and do good for poor, impoverished people, that sort of thing.
But anyway, you didn't want to become a nun?
Yes, that came later. Then I wasn't brave enough to be the missionary, so I decided I'd be a nun in the Australian environment. So, yes, I did. I entered the convent when I was 18.
Wow.
It's not well. It sort of was a normal progression. And while I was there, I did teacher training and became a teacher. And look, I was very happy there, except it didn't really entirely agree with my health. I think I was too stressed by trying to be too perfect. So after 5 years, I decided I couldn't, well, I couldn't live like that all the time. It wouldn't have been good for me as a person, so I left. And that was an extremely hard thing to do, because having oriented my life in a certain direction for 5 years, to change tack and find another direction, I felt a bit at sea for a while. But that was fine, because I had teaching to go on with, and I saw that as perhaps the mission of my life, to teach. And yes, then later I met Grant, and then I decided, well, my mission was to redeem him.
No, so he wasn't a Catholic.
Big fan.
He wasn't a Catholic?
He was, yes. And he was a better Catholic than I'll ever be, Joy. No, he didn't need redeeming. But, yes, so that, you know, I sort of found direction in my life by, that was by about 28 then. And, yeah, so we went on married and had children. And, yeah, the church and rearing our children in the faith was always an important aspect of our lives. But again, we didn't want to be seen to be, you know, too fundamentalist or too good, or, you know, we really see ourselves as just normal people living our lives with that bit of faith direction, I suppose.
And of course, you found yourself in the Black Saturday bushfires.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Well, we were living here, and we knew the bush was dangerous with regard to fire, and the bush was surrounding us, so we had to bear in mind that we were in a dangerous position, but we didn't know how bad that day would be. Nobody had any idea how bad that day would be. We knew it would be extremely hot, so we just prepared ourselves as best we could. But when it got near to 6 o'clock, and a friend of ours who was in the SES, and he'd seen our home and the situation and knew how extremely dangerous it is, because we're in 40-year-old regrowth forest, it was called then. I think it's just burnt 40-year-old regrowth forest now.
Black.
But he rang and he said, with an expletive, which I should delete on radio.
Yeah, we'll just have a beep there.
For goodness sake, get the out of there, because the wind is going to change in half an hour and you won't survive. And we thought that was sound advice. So we just grabbed our two dogs and some blankets and a change of clothes and decided we'd go, and hopefully the fire would pass over, and when we came home we'd carry on as normal. So we left. We didn't see the fire. We saw the cloud of smoke over Marysville, and we knew it was very bad there, so we didn't go towards Marysville. We went the opposite direction towards Alexandra. But I didn't have the experience of seeing the fire close up. We weren't even in smoke. But we knew it could quickly come on us, so that's why we left in a hurry and went to Alexandra, where we spent the night on an oval with the smoke and the cinders and everything falling all around us. It was, you know, just a surreal experience, I suppose. But you just have to say, well, this is where we are. This is where we are. This is where we're at. And look after each other and wait it out, I suppose.
When did you find out that your house had been burned?
The news wasn't good. In Alexandra, people kept saying, oh, Buxton's gone, Buxton's been burnt. And we thought, well, if Buxton had gone, the little village of Buxton, then our home would certainly have gone. So we didn't anticipate finding it whole and entire. And then the news was better, that the fire had gone round Buxton. But we weren't able to come back until the Monday, late Monday afternoon. We could finally get through the roadblock and drive back and find out for ourselves. And that's when we found everything, except the shed was gone. It was just a black lunar landscape, that's all. So we knew then. You have to see it for yourself, you know, to realise how stark and awful it looked. But you just, again, driving towards it, we were prepared for the worst. We couldn't have anticipated that our house would have survived, and yet some others round about us had, but only by miracles, I think.
Yes, it was a very random thing, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it was. A bit.
In some areas.
Mm.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge, usually with the priest, the Pom and the Poof. Today it's just the Poof. So if you'd like to send me a text and keep me company, the text number is 0427JOY949. Today, of course, is the anniversary of the Black Saturday bushfires. They occurred 3 years ago today. And we've been catching up with Alice Stanier, who is a local resident in Marysville. And she's updating us with what's been happening since the bushfires.
Now, after the bushfires, you got busy and set up a quilting group. And well, received materials and stuff from all around the universe.
Yes.
I was going to say the world, but I thought I'd go a little, wider. How did this all happen, that you got involved in this, and is it still happening?
Yes. Now, my sister, Grant has a stepsister in Canberra, and she is a brilliant quilter. She's a very artistic girl, and she teaches quilting all around the world. So she has lots and lots of contacts, and she's also got a blog site. And because, like most people in the fire zone, had family beyond who were touched by what happened to us, she told the story and told our story in particular on her blog site. And she said if quilters around the world wanted to help, then they could send me fabric, because I had lost all my quilting supplies and all my quilts and, you know, just had nothing. So she appealed to them, and they took it up, and boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes came, and she suggested that they send them to my sister-in-law in Mornington, because when she started, I didn't have an address where, you know, I could be sure of getting material. So Jan used to ring me every now and then and tell me how many boxes were mounting up in her living room, and we'd go and get them. And I had a little house to rent in Buxton, two bedrooms, and I certainly couldn't envisage keeping the stuff there, because it wasn't only materials. People sent magazines and needles and pins and pin cushions and tape measures and scissors, and they just sent everything that a quilter could possibly need. My stepsister in Canberra came down and brought me a sewing machine and cutting boards and all the heavy duty stuff as well. So I didn't have to go out and buy a single thing to get back into quilting. So I felt, oh, well, I think there's a message in this. I'll have to begin again. And I wrote an article at the time called exactly that, Beginning Again, for the local Rag Joy, you know it as the Triangle.
Yes.
Telling girls that I had been gifted with all these parcels, and I'd be happy to share them because I couldn't possibly use them in a lifetime. And so I suggested that we form a group and meet maybe weekly, and that's how it began. And we've still been meeting weekly ever since. We started with four girls, and now I suppose we're regularly meeting. There would be 15 and sometimes up as many as 25.
So it's a wonderful place for people to go and just be able to talk about their experience, isn't
it? Exactly, and that's how I envisaged it. It wasn't just so people could sew or do things, but just so that they had a place to sit and chat and, you know, share their life stories without any gossip, because we didn't want just to get into a, you know, who did what and to whom and how bad that was. And that was where having the focus of the patchwork was really good, because we could have classes and we could invite teachers, and people were very willing to come freely and teach us skills we didn't have. So it gave us a focus away from our homes, which were burnt, and away from, you know, the work that we had to keep doing to put things right and do and make something beautiful. So it was really a very positive thing, but it just sort of grew out of that initial, well, I'll have to distribute this material. And so we're still going. We only have a break in January. We're starting again in February. And, yeah, the girls assure me they love it, and it's been very beneficial for some who've had illness during that time to have that to look forward to come back to. We'll probably keep doing it weekly. We were very fortunate because friends of ours who have a cafe in Buxton offered us completely free use of their lovely restaurant setting to meet in, and we're still meeting there every week.
Do they make you scones or something?
Sometimes. One of the girls said when they've closed the restaurant but they've allowed us to still meet there, oh, we're going to miss Barbara's cakes. And Barbara said, I'm happy to make you a cake. Occasionally pops up with this cake. But one of the other girls occasionally brings a plate of things. But that wasn't the plan, that we'd all get together and eat and gorge ourselves. Just to be together was enough. So Gabby's there and she makes us coffee. And so we look forward to the lovely coffee. But yeah.
And this, of course, is at the lovely Butters Cafe, yes, isn't it, in, yes, Buxton, just, yes, in case people are driving through Buxton looking for somewhere to eat.
Yes.
And of course, your group has been going for 3 years now, because mm-hmm. it's 3 years on from the bushfires.
3 years it will be in April, yes.
It's obviously helped you in your journey. How are things in your life 3 years on? Is the rebuilding process still going?
My own house was completed at the end of December 2009, and since then I've been concentrating on the exterior and the garden and trying to make that, you know, control nature. And you know how little you can control nature. You can make some inroads into it. But with the regrowth into it that's been happening this last year, it's really a huge effort to keep the brush down so that it's not dangerous around the house. So that's a big concern of mine. The rest of my time, apart from quilting and keeping this group going, I do voluntary work in at the Information Centre in Marysville to welcome visitors back to the area and make them feel comfortable with what's happened, because a lot of people have shared the life of Marysville, even if they haven't lived there, and they come back and they want to know how it was, they want to know how we're feeling, and they want to hear something of the story of the rebuilding. So I'm happy to share that with them. I think they're entitled to that, and really to give them comfort to realise that, you know, life can go on after a major tragedy like that. It's different, but it does go on.
You're on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof. Today we've been catching up with Alice Stenier, who is a local resident from Marysville and is helping out with the recovery.
A wider community of Marysville is doing 3 years on.
I think every year it's better. But Joy, remember that I was only here 12 months before the fire, and I knew of people, but I didn't personally know anybody who died in the fire.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that searing mark to bear on my soul. Other people have, and they may never. It would take them a very long time to recover from losing close family members and friends that they've had all their life. I can't, you know, speak too much about that because I wasn't there and I didn't have that pain, but I know other people have. On the other hand, I see the confidence and optimism that a lot of people have now. They're getting their homes together and the shops are getting up and running and other businesses like bed and breakfast are coming back into the area. You know, I just feel every year the growth is tremendous in people and in the confidence.
Well, last time I was up there, I thought that the rebuilding of Elkana, the first big guest house, had given the community a new lease on life almost, a new kickstart.
Yes, and that's what they need to see. They need to see, you know, and I think I said that to Grant in the first instance. I said, we need to get back there. We need to rebuild. We need to show we've got confidence in this area. And I think if you show you've got confidence and you rebuild, and as Elkana is, and it's such a visible symbol, cut into the hill there near the golf course, you know, people will realise that, you know, the human spirit is indomitable, really. You can't crush it. And I think people, once they've given time to heal, they move on and, you know, we'll make something even more beautiful in Marysville than we had before.
Do you think this experience, and over the last 3 years, do you think your faith has changed?
That's a very good question, Andrew, and I've been contemplating that today, but I would say no, I don't think it's changed, but it's given me a sharper focus on the fact that God is in control, that I'm not in control. You know, Grant, my husband would tell me that I'm a bit of a control freak. Well, I'm a teacher. I've had to learn to control people. But I know in my heart that the only person that I can make a change in is myself. And I really have to accept other people as they are and where they are. And, you know, the fire and its aftermath makes you realise that the only person who has complete control of your life is God, and we're in his hands. And we have to be accepting of that and not fight it. And it was made more aware of that when 12 months into recovery, I had a major kidney operation. I lost a kidney and I had to stop gardening and just sit back and recover. That made me realise that, you know, it's not all about you, Alice, and what you can do. Other people have a hand in this too. So, you know, you have to really learn to be very accepting of other people and what they will want to do for you, and be generous and glad that they can do it. I had a lovely experience from Joy too, because I was grizzling to her one day about losing all my recipe books, and the next week she turned up with a bag of recipe books.
Oh, she's good like that. She surprises me like that all the time.
And I said to her, Joy, where did you have the time to go around all the second-hand bookshops and collect all these? They're great. And she said, oh, no, I just brought them from home. We don't need them, she said. Well, I was speechless, and I still am every time I look at those beautiful books, and I think, you know, it's generous hearts like that that makes you see the providence of God working in your life, I think. Yes, Joy, see, I'm still grateful for that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the Spirit Lounge and sharing your story, Alice. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks a lot, Alice.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge with the Priest of the Pom and the Poof. And joining us on the phone, live from Marysville, we've got our very own Priesty.
Hi, Puffy.
How are you going, Joy?
I'm good. Hey, listen, have you found the Pom?
No, I haven't located her. She's missing in action.
Oh, we're pretty flat leaving you.
I know. Fancy leaving me alone in the studio all by myself.
No, but at least I've got the excuse I'm working.
So tell me, where are you?
I'm in Marysville.
And what are you doing up there?
Well, it's the third anniversary of the bushfire, so I've been up here working as SES peer support, so supporting our members at this function that they had tonight.
And so was the function like a celebratory function or a day, like a remembrance kind of deal? How did that go down?
Oh, they just have a meal together at the Gallipoli Oval, and then during the course of the evening they have a minute's silence. But it's actually really nice. On the first anniversary they had a big service and it didn't go down well, and a local minister got up and went on and on about how you should you know, gone back to God and blah, 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 and people just got so angry. So they decided after that they were just going to do their own thing, and they also keep all the media away from the town.
Except, of course, for Joy 94.9, we've infiltrated, or you've infiltrated.
Yeah, but they don't know about that.
And so is it just local people, like the extra people who got called in, like a lot of the firefighters and ambulance and support workers that got called in on the day of the bushfires, do they participate in the event?
No. The first year, a lot of people came back, like the police and the army and the firefighters came back. But now, it's more just local, some other people that come in. We always come in, well, there's two of us here. There's a minister that works in the area, he comes in. So it's just the locals and a few others that drop in. So it's very, it's all very low key.
Very low key. That's probably the best way to do it. And can you tell me a little bit about what's the kind of vibe around Marysville at the moment, that it's 3 years on? How are people feeling?
I think one of the things people are quite shocked about is how much it's still affecting them. And in fact, I was talking to a couple tonight at length, and they were saying that for them, this is actually worse on this anniversary than the last one. And they're really feeling it, and they're feeling the loss of, obviously, the people that died, but also people that have left Marysville and are not coming back and not rebuilding. So I think people, you know, are still doing it really tough up here, and no doubt at King Lake too.
Yeah, and you mentioned a lot of people have just left and not come back to rebuild their lives. How has that transformed the community? Is it anything like what it once was? Do you think it will ever get back to being what it once was?
No, it's going to be a very different town and a very different community to what it was. I mean, here you had the quaintness of the town. You had the old guest houses, and, of course, there's none of that now. One thing that I think has given the town a little bit of a lift is that Elkana, which is one of the guest houses, out on the road opposite the golf course, has rebuilt. And so that's the first, like, big structure that's gone up and will provide some jobs for people. So I think that's given the town a bit of a boost. But they really need, you know, some accommodation, a conference centre, something that's going to actually give people jobs.
Yeah, and Alice was telling us a little bit before in our interview about the information centre there, and lots of people come up and kind of want to know a little bit about the story and know about how things are going with the bushfires. Is there much sort of like curiosity around it? Can you feel that?
I think probably not as much as there used to be, because if you come to Marysville now, and we were commenting on this today, because I was actually having lunch with Alice, it actually looks like a town that's developing. If you came here, you wouldn't actually know it was a town that had been destroyed by fire. I mean, you look up in the mountains nearby, and yes, you can see that the trees have been burnt and not coming back to life, but because of the green and everything around the town, it does actually look like a town that's just been developed rather than a town that was destroyed.
Okay.
So I think the curiosity factor is really gone from that. But often it will be people from overseas, I guess, are more curious because they maybe read about it or heard about it and want to know.
Mm.
But they don't sort of get the local people, you know, the Melbourne people now coming up like they used to.
Yeah, probably a good thing. Well, thank you for joining us to give us a bit of a brief update, and thank you for stepping away from the dinner, which sounds amazing.
Oh, it was. The local chef cooked it. It was very nice. Okay, well, you enjoy the rest of the show, and I will see you next week.
Okay, we'll see you again next week at 9 o'clock.
See you on Valentine's Day. Bye.
Bye. You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof. That was Stephen Curtis Chapman, Long Way Home. Stephen is our Artist of the Month for February. We're looking forward to playing a lot more of his songs. Stephen Curtis Chapman is an American musician and songwriter. He's even tried his hand at acting, but I'm not sure how amazing his movie was. He starred in the movie called Christmas Child back in 2003. He is also highly decorated and has about 20 albums for us to choose tracks from. So over the next couple of weeks, I'm sure that we'll be able to keep you entertained with some new stuff from Stephen Curtis Chapman. You've been listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. Don't forget that you can hear this show and all of our others by following the links through to joy.org.au, and you can podcast our show anytime. We're now going to hear one more track from our artist of the month, Stephen Curtis Chapman. This one's called Only Getting Started.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.